Word of God. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Father, we're thankful and grateful for your divine word, for your people, for the songs that we've heard this morning, the presence of the Lord in the midst of your people. Father, we pray that you'd help us in this service, that the name of the Lord would be exalted in our hearts. We'd give glory to your name. We'd worship you from our hearts in spirit and in truth. And Lord, our lives would be transformed by your word and by your spirit. Father, we need the anointing of the Lord as we speak your word this morning. Help us to be able to speak according to the will of God. And I pray, Father, that some life would be touched. And we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to call your attention particularly to verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And I'd like to preach this morning for a few minutes on after testing triumph. From my text, the Christian is assured of a reward for enduring testing times. After we have been tested, when we are tried, after we have stood the test, we shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There is no reward promised to them who do not endure the testing, who do not pass the test. But there is a crown of life promised to them who stand the test, who endure the test. There are two types of temptation. Both of them are mentioned in this first chapter of James. There is a temptation in which there's an appeal for a person to do evil, an appeal for a person to act contrary to the will of God, contrary to the word of God. The Bible tells us that God is not tempted with evil. And God does not tempt any man with evil. He never appeals to anybody to do evil. All such temptation comes from our adversary. The Bible says that every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, or he's baited by the devil. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, every man is tempted. We're all tempted at times in life. There's an appeal. There's a bait. Satan tries to get our attention, to draw us into evil, to get us to act contrary to the will of God, contrary to the word of God. All temptation is based in this manner. You see, the very first temptation in the Garden of Eden came to Eve through a suggestion from the devil. The devil says, Hath God said, thou shalt not eat of this tree? And she said, the Lord said, thou shalt not eat of this tree, neither touch it, lest ye die. Satan said, you shall not surely die. So she has the word of God who said, if you eat of this tree, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Satan said, you shall not surely die. She had a very clear choice. God says, Satan says. And this is her choice. Who will she choose to believe? And we know that Eve chose to believe the devil. And every temptation is after this pattern. You either choose to believe God, or you choose to believe the devil. And the devil baits us. He probes to find out where your weak spot is, what it is that you are tempted by. You know, there's some things that don't tempt me. The devil knows they don't tempt me. He wouldn't even try to tempt me with it. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. I don't have any taste for cigarettes. He can throw cigarettes at me all day long. There's no temptation there. Never tasted a Pabst Blue Ribbon in my life. He could set packs of Pabst Blue Ribbon before me all day long, and I'd never be any temptation to me. So there's some things that the devil knows he could never tempt me with. But Satan doesn't know everything. He's not God. He does not know everything. But he probes in your life to try to find out what your weakness is. I've got weaknesses, and you've got weaknesses. Pabst Blue Ribbon is not a weakness of mine. But the Satan will probe your life to try to find out what your weakness is. And then he baits us. He sets a trap for us. He baits us and entices us to do evil, to act contrary to the Word of God, to act contrary to the will of God. Every man is tempted. He's baited by Satan. Then there's another type of temptation. Temptation exists like this. It's really better named testing. Now we know that the Bible says God does not tempt a person. He does not tempt a person in the sense that God does not appeal to someone to do evil. But the Bible does say that God tempted Abraham. Now, temptation in this sense is testing. God does test us. He does not tempt us, entice us to do evil, but God tests us. Testing is the conditions that add strength to the appeals of the devil. All right, now get this. If you never have anybody to ever do you wrong, you're not going to be tempted to be bitter. If everybody strokes your fur the right way, you'll never be tempted to be bitter. But it's when somebody turns against you, strokes your fur the wrong way, when somebody becomes your adversary, it's in those pressing conditions, it's in those circumstances of life that the temptation to be bitter sets in your life. So conditions come to us that increase the power of temptation, that increase the power of that appeal to do evil, of that appeal to act contrary to the will of God and to the Word of God. God allows circumstances in your life that add strength to the appeal to do evil. He allows circumstances in your life that add strength to the appeal to act contrary to the will of God. And it may be sickness, it may be suffering. It's in these times that we are vulnerable, circumstances are against us, and the appeal to do something contrary to the will of God, to take action outside the will of God, that appeal from Satan becomes stronger because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. I have known people that serve God faithfully as long as their companion lived. And when their companion died and the circumstances of life changed, all of a sudden they're making all these decisions outside the will of God, contrary to the Word of God, and the circumstances of their life added strength to the appeal of the devil to act contrary to the will of God. We must understand that these times of testing come to all of us. And there are times in our life when we're more vulnerable. There's times in my life when I'm more vulnerable. And there's times in your life when you are more vulnerable to the suggestions of the devil to act contrary to the will and word of God. Here is a man in the Bible by the name of Job. Job was sorely tested. You remember, this man is the richest man in the East, and God testifies about him that he's a perfect man, that he eschews evil. He's an upright man. This man, God said, I don't have anybody like him in all the earth. He's tested. He's tested by wealth. You know, wealth is a temptation. It's a test. And this man is tested by wealth. It's a very strong test. Wealth is a very strong test. The church does much better in times of persecution than it does in times of prosperity. Prosperity tests the loyalty and devotion of a person to God. Will people pray when their cupboard's full? Will people pray when their bank account's full? Will people be faithful to God and to His Word when it seems like they need nothing from Him? Will people continue to feel their need to seek the Lord when everything's going good for them? Their health is holding up. Their cupboard's holding up. Their bank account's holding up. Prosperity is a severe test of your commitment to Jesus Christ. This man Job passed the test. In the time that he's prospering, he is faithful to God. God testifies about him that he's a perfect man and that he eschews evil and he's walking uprightly before God. But his prosperity gives way to poverty. In one day, he loses it all. And now then he's tested by poverty. What will he do now that he's lost everything that he had in one day's time? He went from prosperity to poverty overnight. What will Job do? And not only is he tested by poverty, he's tested by sorrow. In the same day that he loses everything, he loses 7 children. Now, you know, 2.5 years ago, I went to my first funeral with 2 caskets. In McCall, South Carolina, 2 sisters died in a car accident. We went to this funeral, first time in my life I'd ever been to a funeral with 2 caskets in one funeral. 1 month later, I was in another funeral, 2 caskets. My mother and daddy in one funeral, 2 caskets. 1 month later, you talk about a time of sorrow and heartache and brokenness. But you understand that Job had 7 caskets in one funeral and all of them his children. And it all happened in one day that he lost everything he owned and now all of his children are lying dead in one day. This man is sorely tested. If he's going to fail God, he's vulnerable right now. I'm telling you, he's vulnerable to the suggestions of the devil right now. He's just lost everything he had. 7 of his children lying there dead. What will Job do? The devil said, I'll cause him to curse you, God. But the Bible says that Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job passed his test. Job kept on worshiping God. Job said, I'm going to keep on blessing the name of the Lord. As if that were not enough, in a few days, Job loses his health. And now then he's suffering, afflicted from head to foot. And here he is, an outcast, sitting on the trash heap outside the city, scraping himself with broken pieces of pottery. His sores oozing. His neighbors despising him, his friends accusing him, and his wife saying, listen, Job, look where you're at. See what's happened to you. You've gone from prosperity to poverty. You've lost all your children, and now you've lost your health. Why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said to her, you speak like a foolish woman. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Here's a man in the time of testing. And you understand that the temptations were strong in that vulnerable time of his life. But Job passed the test. and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, and I will maintain my integrity before him, he says. I will not act out of the will of God. Look at Joseph down in Egypt. This young man, favorite son of Jacob, made him a coat of many colors, despised by his brethren, sent by his father to check on his brethren who are watching over the flocks. They see him coming, they plot to take his life. They throw him in a pit. He appeals for his life. And Reuben has plans to rescue him. He's gone. A camel train comes by headed to Egypt. The brothers say, look, let's don't kill him. Let's sell him for a slave. And so they sell Joseph to these slave traders. They take him down into Egypt. They sell him to Potiphar, captain of the guard, Pharaoh's guard. And here is Joseph, ripped out of the hands of his father, rejected by his brethren, sold as a slave into Egypt, and probably many people in that day would have rather been dead than a slave. It was that severe to be a slave in those days. And it would have been preferable to die than to be sold as a slave. And here he is, a slave in Potiphar's house. Now he could have become a bitter young man. He could have complained and grumbled about his circumstances in life. But the Bible tells us that Potiphar noticed that the Lord was with him. He saw a different spirit in this young man. The Bible says he elevated him, made him master of his household, turned everything over to him. And one day Joseph is working in the house. His master's wife has set her eyes on him. And so over and over she appeals to him to have an affair with her. He will not accept the bait. Finally one day, he's in the house. Nobody else is around. She grabs him. She thinks, this is my opportunity. She appeals to him. Here's a young man who has been cut off from his family. There's nobody in the family to watch over him, to bring shame to him, if he does what she's appealing for him to do. He is cut off from the worship of his people, all alone in a land of heathens. And it would be so easy now. He's been mistreated. He's been rejected. He's in a foreign land. It would be so easy just to give in to the appeal to act contrary to the will of God. This woman grabs hold of him. He comes out of his coat. He flees from her. He gives her the reason why he will not give in to this woman's appeals. He said, how can I do this and offend my God? He said, my master has not withheld anything from me, but you do not belong to me. I would sin against God. I would sin against my master to act this way. And so Joseph leaves his coat in her hands and runs from the house and turns down the temptation. I'm telling you, brother, that there are times that you are vulnerable, and you need to understand that the circumstances of your life make you vulnerable. But if your mind is made up, God will help you to overcome temptation, whatever the circumstances of your life are. Joseph fled for his life. Fled for his character. He left his coat in her hands, but he kept his character and got out of the house. He was falsely accused by the wife. He wound up in prison. And even in prison, this young man kept a good spirit. The prison keeper noticed that this young man had an excellent spirit about him, set him over all the other prisoners. Remember how Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh's servants. It came to pass just like he said. And Joseph said to the butler, he said, when you are restored to your place, remember me. Tell them about me. I'm here through no fault of my own. I'm suffering not because I've done anything wrong. Would you please remember me before Pharaoh? And the butler forgot him. 2 long years went by. And the butler forgot him. And he's still in the dungeon. He could have become bitter and say, that man's ungrateful. I interpreted his dreams for him. And now that he's forgotten me, and I'm rotting in this prison, and he could have become a bitter man. You see, he was in the test. He was being tried. He was being tested. But Joseph never broke. He never gave in to the pressures that he was under. And finally, Pharaoh has a dream. His servants hear about it. He wants to know what the meaning is. Nobody can tell him. But the butler says, I remember my thoughts this day. There's a man down there in the dungeon. He can interpret that dream for you. Call for Joseph. God gives him the interpretation of the dream. And Joseph gives them counsel. And Pharaoh says, who would be a better man to set over Egypt than this man? And so he pulls him up out of the dungeon, sets him on a throne, and makes him second in command in Egypt. Here's a young boy that went from being a slave through the dungeon to the throne because he passed the test and because he stood the trial, because he was faithful to God when the pressure was on. When he is tried, understand this, you are going to be tried. You're going to be tried by circumstances of life that come to you. You'll be tried by sickness. You'll be tried by adverse circumstances of life. You'll be tried by people who become your enemies and your adversaries. You'll be tried when things are not going so good financially. You'll be tried when things are not going so good in your home and in your family, when the devil is fighting with all he's got against you. The pressure's on. The trial is on. When your job is at stake, you don't know if you'll have one tomorrow or not. And the pressure is on. It's testing time. And in that testing time, there's a bait set before you. Will you act contrary to the will of God? Will you misbehave in time of pressure, of trouble, of suffering? Will you act out of the will of God? This is our test. You know, the Bible says that judgment must first begin at the house of God. This is our judgment. The test that we go through, this is our judgment. And it's after we are tried. You know, he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. How many of y'all rejoicing in because of the pressure you're under? Hard to do, ain't it? Difficult to say, thank God for this pressure I'm feeling. Thank God that the circumstances of life were adverse. Thank God that things are not going too good. It's hard for us to rejoice in those times. But the reason we don't rejoice is because we don't see what God's doing. But God's doing something in those testing times. In those testing times, God's working things out of us that we don't need. In those testing times, God's speaking to our heart and revealing His power to us. You would never know the power of God until you stood in need of the power of God and God came through in your life. It's in these times that God's maturing us. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God is working endurance in you. He's working patience in you. He's working something in you that causes you to be willing to wait on God when the pressure's on in your life. That keeps you from making decisions that you will later regret when you look back down the road because you acted out of the will of God when the pressure was on in your life. God's working endurance in you, patience in you. You know, sometimes we move when we ought to be waiting. That was what happened to Abraham and Sarah. When God had given them a promise, I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to make your seed like the stars of heaven. I'm going to make your seed like the sands of the seashore. And years go by and no son. And finally Sarah says, hey, Abraham, let's help God out here. Looks like God ain't going to get around to it. We're getting old. It's getting late. We need to do something. So you take Hagar. Have a child by Hagar. And Abraham does. He listens to the suggestion of his wife under the pressure of waiting. They make a decision out of the will of God. We're still suffering from it today. The world is suffering from it today. Because the descendants of Ishmael and the descendants of Isaac are still at it today. We're still suffering from that decision thousands of years ago because somebody made a decision under pressure out of the will of God. It's 25 years after God said, I'm going to give you a son. 25 years later, Isaac is born. They hold the promise in their hands. God's working patience, endurance. Let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire. God's maturing you. God's bringing you to the point that you can wait on Him. God's bringing you to the point to let you understand that He can handle things better than you can. And that He answers prayer. Oh yeah, hallelujah. God really answers prayer. And you can trust Him. And you can believe in Him. And you can wait on Him. And you don't have to act contrary to the will of God to get things done when God is on the throne. And you got a promise from Him. Wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalmist said, I'd fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hallelujah. Sister Judy, if you'll come to the piano. I want to sing a song this morning in closing. And get you to sing it with me. I know that some of you are in testing times right now. You know, maybe most all of us are. Testing times. It's testing time. You know it's testing time. In so many ways, it's testing time for the people of God. And you may be in one of those tests right now. But He said, blessed is the man. What does that word blessed mean? It means he's happy. That man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Hallelujah. Which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Hey, brother and sister, this is what compels us to obey. This is what compels us to keep visiting the sick, the widows and the afflicted, widows and the orphans in their affliction. Keeps us doing good in times of pressure. This is what keeps us from saying no, keeps us saying no to the world when the pressure's on. Keeps us unspotted from the world. We endure temptation when we are tempted to make wrong decisions. Oh my. Oh my, young people. You know, sometimes you're waiting on God to send you a boyfriend, send you a girlfriend. And if you're not careful, the devil will come to you and say, hey, look, you won't never get married, living for God, serving God, being a good Christian. There just ain't nobody for you. You just might as well throw up your hands and go to the world and find you somebody in the world. You know he talks like that. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll come through for you if you'll trust God. And I want us to sing just a little bit of this Isaiah chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They're going to walk, not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. To wait. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. To wait. One more time. They that wait upon the Lord shall they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Let's stand together. You may be going through a trial this very day. Pressure may be on in your life. But I'm telling you, if we will endure the test, there's triumph beyond the testing. The crown of life for those that endure the test. Father, we're thankful this morning. Grateful. Lord, we go through testing times. I've been there. There are people right here in this service that the pressure's on in their life. Oh, God. Satan comes to us in those vulnerable times. Heals to us to act out of the will of God. Speak out of the will of God. Do something out of the will of God. Makes his appeal to us. Tries to draw us into the world, into his traps. Pray that we'd recognize, Lord, where we are. We'd recognize the devices of the devil. We'd understand, Lord, the appeal that's being made to us in our vulnerable times. You told us in your word, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Hallelujah. God is faithful. who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, ye may be able to bear it. We believe it, Lord. We believe it with all of our heart. You are there. You will make a way of escape. We can bear it. We can overcome. Lord Jesus, we know that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Help us this morning, O God, to draw from the resources the Lord has made available to us. You told us to come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. Lord, we are running to you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Oh, hallelujah, God. When the testing time is here, when the pressure is on, help us to run into the tower, strong tower. Find help for our souls. Find refuge. Find strength. Jesus, bless your people this morning. Encourage every heart. Strengthen every soul here. Lord, we want to endure the testing. God, we want to endure the testing. We want to please you. We love you. This is what keeps us, Lord, in times of testing. We love you. We want you to be pleased with the decisions we make. Glorify your name through us, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you this morning, Lord. Thank God, thank God. You have brought us through so many difficult places. You've been our help in time of trouble. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you this morning. Oh, they that wait on the Lord. Of the Lord. May the Lord bless you.